Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Go with your Bibles to me with Haggai chapter 1. We're going to go back on the live stream and watch that over and over again. What's that? Ben's down there watching it probably. Ben King, you're not allowed to post this to worship fails or whatever. This morning, I want to get into something this morning that's a little bit of a different zone than I typically go into. I've done it more this year than any year in the past, and that has everything to do with the fact that how many of us know it's been a complicated year to navigate. And every year, when it comes to the turn of the year and different seasons, I'm always asking the Lord, what are you doing right now? How do I lead our church well? Like, what are you saying? What are you doing? And I always bring a word saying, like, hey, I feel like this is what God is saying right now. I've had to do that, like, repeatedly this year. I love to just open the scriptures and teach, but there's moments where I need to step up and go, hey, guys, this is what I feel like God is saying right now. Let's get into what I feel like God is saying right now. And it has everything to do with the fact that we're such in a complicated time and season of life. And it's my responsibility to always be trying to say, like, hey, this is the direction. Let's go in it. And not only for here, but, you know, I was just on a call with like 50 different leaders from around the world, from New Zealand all the way to across the United States, internationally, all across the UK, Canada. I mean, I was just on this call and I was sharing with them portions of what I'm going to share with you today. I was on a call a couple nights ago with another 50 to 100 leaders from around the United States and beyond. Sharing some of what I'm going to share right now. We're just in New England. I was sharing some of this with some leaders from around New England. And so I'm constantly in a situation where I'm having to like lead leaders on how to build the church and what God is saying and doing. And so what I'm about to share with you today is what I feel like God is saying to the church right now. This is what I feel like God is doing beyond our local community, okay? I've been praying and I've been really in a really sweet season with the Lord, yet at the same time, a little overwhelmed with some of the stuff he's sharing with me. So, do we have the readiness to do this? Yeah. Lord, we pray, Lord, bless this word. Let everything from you just stick and land. And Lord, let our hearts connect and resonate with it. And everything else, let it just go off to the side. Lord, we bless you. We give you all the glory. We put our eyes on you. In Jesus' name. How many of us know that we live in the clash of two kingdoms, right? We are living in the tension of a victorious, prevailing kingdom that is taking captivity captive, and the church is on her victory march until Jesus returns, and we're on the winning side. Amen. Simultaneously, there is a kingdom that is falling, the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of darkness that is trying to get its last swipes at whatever he can get in Jesus' victory march. And there's still a tension, and there's still a war, there's still a battle that's being had. Thank God for the joy that we get to prevail and overcome with the victorious church, but that we also feel the tension of what is happening, you know, in the realm of darkness. How many of us know where we stand, we can see what heaven is doing, we can see what hell is doing. How many of us know it's often easier to see what hell is doing than heaven is doing? Why is that? Because what heaven is doing is often incredibly deep, it's incredibly spiritual, it's incredibly complex and wise and strategic, and hell is typically pretty obvious, simple, and stupid. So simple and stupid, you don't even have to be saved to see what he's doing. Does anybody feel like the world was remiss by what the enemy was doing this past year? No, they weren't, were they? And you know, obviously there's layers to all of that, but you don't even have to be that prophetic or that wise or spiritually in tune to know what the enemy is doing. It's so obvious, it's so external. And I feel like the Lord has really been speaking to me about what he is doing on the earth in this little window of time that I feel like God's doing something. But before I can do that, I need to share a little bit of what I feel like the enemy is doing. Is that okay? I don't want to put focus on it. I don't want to glorify it. I don't want to suck the air out of the room. But how many of us know we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices towards the church, right? And towards believers. And I feel like the past year of the pandemic was a disorienting time where man's plans, man's ways, man's habits, man's behaviors, man's comforts were disoriented. And in many ways, in one, everything was turned over, everything was changed, everything was dynamically adjusted and shifted in our lives. And we're coming out of that, and I feel like we're coming into what I would call the second wave of the pandemic, where the virus is now, in many ways, although real, is behind us. And but what we're coming into, where the first wave disoriented man's ways, the second wave, the enemy seeks to steal man's affections. And how many of you know balance is not man's greatest gift? Right? It's not one of our greatest gifts, is it? Anybody ever gone on like an intense diet? Right? Anybody? Any? No one wants to wave their hand on that. I've done a few of them. How many of you guys know when you end your diet, how many of you guys know sometimes we try to make up for lost time? Right? We're not very good at handling our liberties. Sometimes we come out of a diet and we're eating for two after, right? Like, how many of you guys know, even Pastor Dustin alluded to a couple weeks ago, it's very interesting human behavior. The people that come out of like middle class or poverty, they come out of it and then they win the lottery. Do you know the majority of those people that win the lottery end up going bankrupt? Why? Because they don't know actually how to steward excess when they're coming out of poverty, because they don't understand balance. And although they have wealth, they live beyond their means. We're not really good at stewarding our liberties. And what I believe we're coming into, and it's going to be measurable, it's going to be obvious, it's going to be seen, people are going to know it. But if we're not aware that the enemy is actually conspiring in something, what we need to understand is the enemy is after our affections right now. And in the days ahead, it's going to be very obvious. And the reason is because in this coming year, people are going to be asking us, and we are going to be tempted to live 2 years in one. But how many of you know time doesn't work that way? Time is not something you can get back. We always say, I got to make up for lost time. You really can't make up for lost time. You only have the time you're living in this very moment. And the problem is that the pendulum is going to swing from isolation and from everything shutting down. The pendulum is going to swing to liberty. And just like it does in a diet or finance, it's going to swing. We're not going to know how to handle our time. And the events are going to begin to pile up on each other. Everything that was missed will be looked to be made up in the days ahead. And the problem is that we don't have enough time to give everything we're trying to make up for. How does this have anything to do with anything, right? Well, here's the thing, is I feel like those that, this is what I felt, I saw a picture of people standing in a fog and not knowing which direction they were going in. And I felt like what the enemy is trying to do is steal people's affections by busying their time, disorienting their ways, and draining them and causing them to become so weary that they turn their affections off of the Lord and they turn it on to things that are temporal or busy or excessive. Does that make sense? And but the problem is that those that enter the season without any discretion of the Holy Spirit in this matter, in the spending of their time, will get lost in a fog and they'll lose their direction. And go with me to just really quickly at Haggai 1. This is what the Lord, I was asking the Lord about what he was showing me. And in Haggai chapter 1, this is what happened. Israel was captive to Persia, and they were serving the king. And for years and years and years, they faithfully served under their captor. And they wrote a letter to their captor, and they sent a message, and they said, "Hey, we've been serving you faithfully, and while we've been serving here, our temple to our God has gone into ruins. It is desolated. It's gone. please let us, like, we'll come back and we will serve you and we will be loyal to your kingdom, but please let us go back and build our temple. Just let us build our temple. And so he heard them and he said, yes, go for it. And he sent Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. And he brought all of Israel with him, and they got there, and what did they do? They didn't build their temple. What they actually did was is they plowed their fields, and they built their houses, and they bettered their life. They came out of captivity, they came into liberty, and although that their heart was to build the temple, they decided to build their homes first. And here's what happened. It says in verse 6, the prophet Haggai says to them, he says, now consider your ways. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages of putting a bag with holes. And thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I might take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. And you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it away, you blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while everyone runs to his own houses. Now, I feel like this is what, like, the temptation is in this season, is to, like, say yes to every single busy activity. But the problem is that we will feel like there's a hole in our pockets, and there's no joy even though we're pursuing joy, and there's no rest even though we're pursuing rest, and there's no favor even though we're, like, praying for. There's this emptiness where things are missing, and I feel like this is a thing for the body of Christ, body wide. But here's the thing: is that many leaders are going to see the busyness of the people in absence from the church, and they're going to think that's the battleground. That's not the battleground. And many churches will try to match busyness with busyness and say we need more activities for them to come to. How many of you guys know that when the enemy is sowing a narrative of busyness to destroy the affections of man's heart, how many of you guys know God's answer is not busyness? That makes sense? This message, if you're online, this message, you listen after, this message is not going, so I'm going to be tracking your attendance. That's not what this is. You can relax. Because what's going on the battlefield is not church. The battlefield is the affections of the heart. And for the all-in focus on the call of God on my life and following him and giving my yes and being step in step in what he's saying and what he is doing and building the house of the Lord, not the house of our own soul. And I want to give you a tool in the season because what's coming next is what we're going to put our big focus on, and that's, but what is God doing, all right? But here's a tool, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to tell people though? And I felt like the Lord said, this is what he said, before you commit to anything, ask the Lord for permission to spend your yes. I heard the Lord say, before you commit to anything, ask the Lord for permission to commit your yes. And because if you don't, you'll build a house for your soul while your spirit will lie in ruins. And I was really overwhelmed as the Lord began to show this to me. I was asking, Lord, what are you doing? And on the first night of when Steve Backlund was here, we were in a place called Hunger Mountain. And I was hungry on Hunger Mountain. I was asking the Lord for his presence, and I was honestly a little overwhelmed. I started getting in the mindset like, man, this coming season is going to be so hard. Father, let no one get disoriented and lose their way. Lord, let us come to the end of a summer of just absolute chaos and busyness where there's like not one wedding, there's two weddings. Where there's not one funeral, there's two funerals. There's not one graduation, there's two graduations. Not one birthday, two birthdays. Like the doubling of time. Lord, let us get through this season. Let no one lose their way. And I was praying. I was asking the Lord, you know, to move. And the Lord began to show me something. Can you guys go with me to Revelation chapter 4? Because I was asking the Lord, what do you do and how do I lead well? Because obviously busyness cannot match busyness. So what are you doing and how do we lead well through this? And the Lord spoke to me and he had me open up to Revelation chapter 4. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, the next 6 months, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm doing. And even as leaders, we're beginning to talk about this. And leaders I'm talking to, I'm saying, hey, build around this concept around, because this is what I feel like the Lord is doing. And can I just read Revelation chapter 4? It's 11 verses. Can I read them to you? like, if you want to close your eyes and just see Revelation chapter 4 as I'm reading it, this is like one of my favorite passages, you know. As Paul is, or not Paul, I'm sorry, John is encountering the glory of the throne room. Ready? In verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like the trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper or sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold upon their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within. And they do not rest day or night, declaring, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" How awesome is that? And the Lord began to open this to me, and I asked the Lord, "What are you doing?" And I heard the Lord say, Revelation 4:1, "Come up here, come up now." Here's the first thing I felt like the Lord is doing over the next 6 months, is I feel like the Lord is inviting the church to encounter him. That there is an invitation from heaven. And we need to understand something. He says, "I look and behold, a door standing open in heaven." I have a lot to say, but I taught on this like a few weeks ago as the Lord began to open this to me. But the door standing open in heaven, please understand that door stands open in heaven because of the blood of Jesus was sufficient to rend the veil for you to become eternal dwelling place for the triune Godhead to rest inside of you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That veil was torn, that you become a dwelling place. Christ in you is the hope that God receives glory. And that because of that, there now stands a door open in heaven where you've been invited into eternal fellowship with God, not later, right now. That you can hear his voice, that you can see him. It once was told to Moses, "You cannot see me and live." And Moses was hidden in the cleft of a rock, and a veil was put over his face because that was what was appropriate in the old covenant, is that unsanctified, sinful Israelites had not fulfilled the law, were not ceremonially washed, could not see the glory of God that was resting upon Moses' life and live. And so they covered his face with a veil because that was appropriate. But how many of you guys know there was a veil that was torn, and John the Beloved is seeing what Moses could not see, and he was standing in awe in the full weight of the details of what he was witnessing. And imagine this, is that what he was witnessing in this moment was not just in God, was beautiful. No. He's saying, and it was kind of like a rainbow that's emerald. I don't know. It's kind of like jasper and sardius. Have you ever seen those stones? It was kind of like that. It's kind of like the floor was like a sea of glass, which is like a mirror reflection. I could see through into eternity. I can't really explain it. And there was lightnings and thunders and voices all mixed together, flashes of light. I don't know, but man, when they reflected off the emerald rainbow and the way that it exploded before my eyes and it shimmered off of the sea of glass, I can't express to you the judgment and the mercy and the grace and the goodness and the fear and the wrath, all these things combined. I can't explain to you, but it's all happening at once. That's the glory of God. And this man is watching it, and it's so profound and so extraordinary and so beautiful that literally creatures that were created to dwell around his throne are championing what they see. They're shouting the glories and the thankfulness of his glory, literally making these 24 elders who've sat here from eternity or respond to the declarations of his glory over and over and over again with eternal songs because they can't get enough of what they're witnessing. Endless raptures of revelation and understanding are happening in this moment, and John is seeing all of it unravel before him. And all of this was made way by the blood of Jesus. It was John's birthright and his inheritance to know the Father, and he was invited to come see him. I need us to understand something right now. And we don't need to compare ourselves to Revelation 4:1, but when I say I believe that there is a unique grace and moment where God's inviting his church into encounters right now. And what do I mean by that? I mean that God wants to pull back layers of a veil for you to experience parts of his nature that will change you from the inside out, that will overwhelm your life, that will disciple you in this season, that will actually, in one moment of seeing his glory, that you freedom what you've never known will come, healing that you've never known will come. In one moment, you could go on the floor weeping before the Lord in one moment because his presence is so thick, and you could get up a transformed human being. I believe God wants to do things that quickly, and he wants to give dreams, and he wants to give visions, and he wants moments where we go, I don't know what's going, but I feel God in this place. And that those moments right now, God is inviting. I hear him saying, come up here, come up now. A couple weeks ago, I was down at our South Campus, and there's a gentleman, I'm sure he'll listen, Kevin, who's been a dear friend of mine. He's a father. He's a man's man. He's a good man. He's an elder. He's an usher. I mean, he is a father. I mean, this dude, he's a provider. He is like the kind of guy. He's the rock of the church, you know? And Kevin, he's a hunter. He's a fisher. He's a businessman, runs a successful business. His wife is a swirly intercessor that loves the presence of God and wave flags. And he's just like, he loves it, but he's a good man. He's a stable rock of father, a man, you know? And I saw him recently. I'm like, something's different about you, Kevin. What's going on? There's a little bit more swagger to your step. You know what I mean? There's a little bit more like readiness to roll and worship. Like, what is that? And Kevin goes, I had a dream. And he goes, he's not a dreamer, but he has this dream. And in the dream, he sees heaven. And heaven is drawing him higher and higher. And the closer he gets to heaven, he's literally flying. I mean, it's amazing to listen to Kevin go, I was flying like a bird, Jamie. Like, okay, you know. And the only time I've ever heard you talk about birds is you shooting them. And you're talking about flying in this dream like a bird. And he's like tears rolling down his face. And he's saying, I saw heaven. And the closer I got, this amber glow started coming out of the heavens, and it got gold and colors of yellow and light. And he goes, the closer I got, the more I felt God. And he said, and he woke up from the dream, not fully seen, but he woke up from the dream, and he goes, and God was in my room, and he was shaking and trembling from the power of the Holy Spirit. And any moment he thinks about it, he just breaks down weeping. So wasn't this a dream? Kevin had an encounter with God. And God was in his room, and he felt the presence of God. He felt transformed. He felt a tenderness and a nearness to the Holy Spirit like he's never felt before. And he goes, but that's not all. He goes, I haven't told anybody else this. And he gets out his phone, and he goes, a few days later, this guy, he does roofs. He's like a metal roofer. This is what he does. And he goes, he's going through his phone. He goes, look at this. And he's showing me all these pictures of roofs. I'm like, okay. And he goes, I was trying to show my wife the end of a job. He's going through the pictures, and he goes, and in the middle of all the pictures, in the middle, not at the end, at the middle of all the pictures of this job I was working on, he scrolls to it, and it's a picture of a white screen turning yellow gold into amber light. And he goes, that's what it looked like. And he goes, I didn't take this picture. I don't know where it came from. In the middle of my job, he goes, when I press the button, hit edit, it was taken in the middle of the night while he was sleeping. And he just starts weeping. And he goes, I don't know how it got there. I was like, I don't have a grid for this. He goes, but God is doing something so profound in my life right now. Right? Some of you guys are looking at me like I have two heads. Listen, I don't make enough money to make this stuff up, okay? Listen to me. someone I would least expect to be like, I encountered God and he's just weeping in front of me, right? A couple days ago, you know, of course, this past year was so hard for everyone. It was really deeply hard for my family, and we went through so many hard things, and my wife was listening to a sermon that was given last Sunday at Bethel Church by a guy named Michael Maiden. He's a prophetic guy, and he was giving a prophetic word for Bethel, and he had this word. He goes, this is what God is saying over this coming year, and he says, he takes the story of Samson, and the story of Samson where Samson kills the lion. And then he goes back to the carcass a little while later, and there's a bee's nest with honey inside of the carcass of the lion. And he goes, I feel like God is saying that wherever lions leapt out to take you out this past year will now become like incubators of sweet honey in this coming season, that God's pouring out something sweet for you. And he's like, claim this word. And my wife like really encountered the Lord in that word. And she just said, Jamie, I feel like this is a word for our family. And we're listening to the message. We're on our way to get like a chair from Marketplace from a friend, and where she's like, listen to this. And I'm resonating. I'm like, yeah, I really feel this is a word. Lord, do this. Like, give us honey. Now, as we're listening to this message and we're being so deeply impacted, my 7-year-old daughter just turned 7 this week. 7-year-old daughter this week. She is in the back seat playing with toys. We have the volume like kind of pushed to the front, and she's not listening to this whatsoever. And she goes, what's that smell? Now, I had accidentally left a trash can in the back of the van from going to the dump earlier that day, and it did not smell good. And so I go, babe, I'm so sorry. I left the trash can. You can roll down the windows. And she goes, no, Dad, it smells like honey. Why do I smell honey in the car? The car's filled with honey. What is that smell? And my daughter begins to smell honey, which is the very word that we're resonating with in that moment, that God's going to give us honey. How many of you guys know that my daughter was encountering the goodness of the Lord? We were encountering the goodness of the Lord, where what was spiritual was beginning to manifest in a way that we could quantify, measure, impact, see, and witness. God is confirming his word over us right now. I was receiving that word in faith, but how many of you guys know when my daughter's yelling, I smell honey from the back of the van, you better believe, I know that God's goodness is prevailing for my family in this season. We encountered the Lord. Is this making sense? I really believe that we're in a unique season of encounter where like the enemy wants to distract and pull people's affections in the season, but this is actually a season that if you ask, it will be given, if you seek, you will find, and you will knock and the door will be opened. And that God is inviting us into encounter that he could capture our affections in this moment. Is that all right? I feel like that's what God's doing. Can I take 5 more minutes? Are you guys okay? Okay, here's the other thing is that around the throne, in around this encounter of what's going on and what they're seeing, all of a sudden we have 7 dancing fires of the flames. There are voices and thunderings, but there are 24 elders. There's 4 living creatures. One is shouting. One is responding. The angels are singing. And we're about to have 144,000 dressed in white singing a new song. All this gathering is building around the throne room. And I know there are so many doctrinal implications of what I'm presenting, but I also want to present to you that a community was built around the throne. And I really believe that God told me there's 3 things, and I'm going to be really quick with them. And is number 1 is that he's releasing a unique grace right now for like to encounter the Lord in the season. And secondly, that God's going to build family around encounter. And I really believe that, man, that feel as awkward as a 4 living creature are going to find, people that feel as awkward as a 4 living creature is about to find harmony and connection and community like never before. I really believe that there's about to come a harmony to the body of Christ and people that are going to begin to connect and family that's about to be built. I heard this, maybe this is you, but I heard this as I felt like I saw people that were so disappointed with their friendships, that were feeling unseen and unknown. and that were trying to find their place, yet in there was a longing for something relational that wasn't real or obtainable. And what I meant by that was that there was like these like pre-programmed lies that no matter what you experience, it's not good enough. No matter what you experience, you're not connected. No matter what you experience, it's not family. No matter what you experience, there's alternative motives. And the enemy's been lying and lying, which has caused you to feel isolated and alone. And I felt like that encounter was going to dislodge the lies of the enemy, and that family was going to get built like never before, and that people were going to feel relational and family healing in this season. And that God was going to build the family of the church. God was going to build community. And it was going to be built around the fact, not common interests, but common presence. Not around programs. Not about being busy. Not about just going to a small group. But that we're pursuing the presence of the Lord together, and it was going to build a level of community interaction like we've never seen before. Now listen, as your pastor, I don't have now like a now we're going to do 9 weeks of having dinner with a stranger and getting to know them, and we're going to create a program. No, it's not it at all. I literally have no plan on how to build community or family in this church on a deeper level. Is that all right? Yeah. Yay, what a good pastor, right? Like, I don't. All I know is that God, I feel like God is saying, pursue my presence. I'm going to build family around my presence. Like I've built family around my throne. I'm going to build family around my presence again. And I just felt like there's covenantal bonds being created in the pursuit of his presence. Is that all right? And this is the last thing I saw. And so we have this whole scene. And we have the encounter that's happening. And John's being witnessed to, is being invited to see it. And then immediately after that, we have community that's gathering around the throne. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, John says, and then I behold a throne, or I mean, I scroll inside of the, in the hand of the one who sat on the throne. And he goes, and he took the scroll with the prayers and the incense of the saints, and the angels begin to sing a new song. And the song that they sing is you are worthy to take the scroll and to loose its seals, for you were slain and you redeemed us by your blood. And out of every tribe and nation, you've redeemed us to God, and you've made us kings and priests, and we will rule and we will reign upon the earth with God. And then all these like plagues and disasters, all these things come out from it. But guess what? You were called to rule and reign in the midst of it. Wars will hit the earth, but you will rule and reign in the midst of it as a king and a priest. And plagues and pandemics will come, but you will rule and reign in the midst of it. And out of the encounter and out of the family comes a mission to rule and reign with God and to deliver the earth into the justice of the gospel. And I believe with all my heart, I believe it. I was just on the phone with a buddy in Boston. He goes, Jamie, I've been in Boston, been doing ministry for like a decade. I've never seen an openness to the gospel as I'm seeing right now. He goes, in 2 months of praying for people on the streets, I haven't been rejected once. And they go every day. Guys, that is a big deal. Now they say, can you pray from 6 feet away? But they're receiving, I'm telling you, the fields are white unto harvest right now. And it's not, there's a harvest that's coming, but it's not coming for a crusade, a well-planned missional structure, for an itinerant man on a flyer. There's a harvest coming to an anointed family that carry a burden for souls and walk in profound power that only can come from an encounter with God. Does this make sense? And I believe that a family that gets built around encounter will become absolutely possessed by a mission to see the world come to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't come out of good plans, good programs. It's going to come out of anointed families. And I really believe this is what the Lord is doing. Over the next few weeks, what I'm going to do, we're going to, as leaders, we're going to sit down and we're not going to busy our schedule with a ton of events. We're going to go, God, how do we promote family and encounter? How do we make place for his presence? We're not going to make busy schedules and go, wow, man, people haven't been at church. We should probably have a dinner. We should probably have this. That's not what God's doing. What God's doing is he's making a place for people to encounter him. And so what we're going to be doing over the next few months, what I really want to encourage you guys to do is we're going to do like a sermon series on this, about these like three things, about like encounter, family, and mission. We're going to lay theology. We're going to dig into scriptures. We're going to talk about hearing his voice. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the beauty of just getting to see God and how he moves. And we're going to get into all of that stuff. It's going to be so fun. But the only reason why we're doing it is because we just want to be doing what what he's doing and putting language and believing that when we teach his word, he responds and he moves. And I even believe after this moment, some of you are going to begin to recognize the hand of the Lord on your life in a different way. And we're going to talk about family, and we're going to talk about mission. We're going to just do that. I have no idea how long. I don't know what my next sermon is. No idea. All I know is this is what God is doing, and we're going to go step by step with him and say, God, just do it here. Because I believe he's doing this across the entire body of Christ. How many of us know it's fun to partner with God with whatever he's doing? And we know what the enemy is doing, but I want to be more concerned with what God is doing. And God's releasing encounters right now. Is that all right? Why don't you guys stand with me?